Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier here with your Cancer Solstice astrological report. And for those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the summer solstice. And for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, you are beginning the winter solstice. My intention is to share with you the astrological energies and what they mean, but also to support you in working with them for the highest possible healing for yourself and for others, and to work with them in a conscious way so that you can participate with them. What we know about the archetypal energies is that they have a higher octave and a lower octave. And when we understand that, we can intentionally shift into the higher octave and also more skillfully work with the lower octave. So I'll be describing all of that to you. So, just a couple of highlights from the solstice, a lot going on. But one of the main players is the planet Neptune. And I'm actually going to start with talking about Neptune. Now the solstice this year is on Thursday, June 20th. The sun will be moving into 0 degrees Cancer. Venus will also be in Cancer, and so will Mercury. I'm going to give you the astrological lingo, and then I promise I'm going to explain it all in English. They're all squared by Neptune, and also Venus and Mercury are very close to the sun, and we say that they're in the underworld and they are receiving source information, experiences, deep transformation. And that's a really powerful place. Talk about that more. We have Jupiter in Gemini conjunct the dwarf planet Sedna, and I'm gonna just talk about that. We have a full moon 2 days, 1 day after the solstice, the full moon in Capricorn, also squared by Neptune, and the moon is an out of bounds moon. I will talk to you more about that as well. So let's talk about Neptune. Neptune takes 165 years to move all the way around the zodiac. So the zodiac starts with Aries, and it moves, from Aries to Taurus to Gemini to Cancer to Leo to Virgo and so on and so forth until finally we get to the final archetype, and that's Pisces. So it takes Neptune 165 years to go all the way around from Aries to Pisces and to get to the end of Pisces. And guess where Neptune is now? Neptune is at the last degree and the last minute of Pisces, 29 degrees and 56 minutes of Pisces at the solstice. And this is highly significant. So I want to talk to you about, and Neptune is playing a leading role in the solstice because Neptune is squaring the sun and Venus and Mercury. And then the next day, Neptune is squaring the full moon. So this energy is very present at the solstice. And as you know, the solstice is the birthday of a new season. And so it's the birth chart. And so it's really, the energies are carried all the way through the season. So Neptune in Gemini. So Neptune began its sojourn in Pisces in 2011, and it will be absolutely complete in 2026. It's at the edge of Pisces. It's dancing on a gateway, and it's dancing at that gateway between now and early 2026, going back and forth. In March of 2025, Neptune will arrive at 0 degrees Pisces and then go back. So Neptune is just dancing over 29 degrees Pisces between now and early 2026, where Neptune will finally enter Aries and begin a new 165 year cycle. So let's, so also, What, so let's talk about Neptune. Neptune is an upper world spiritual initiator. In shamanism, there are three worlds, the upper world, the middle world, and the lower world. And the upper world is that an area of consciousness that has to do with dreams and visions. It's where the guides live, the gods, the goddesses, the unseen realms that are very shimmery, that are galactic, that are filled with unconditional love. The upper worlds are very safe spaces to journey into, to meet with guides and teachers. You know, our higher self lives inside of our bodies, inside of our heart, or at least a hologram of our higher self, of our spirit is in our heart. And also our higher self is really connected to the upper world. So when we talk about Neptune, we're talking about the realm of our guides and our teachers, spirit, unconditional love, a place where all time is now, a place that is non-linear, a place beyond time and space. It's the language here is of dreams. The language is of visions, of symbols. Here is where our intuitive guidance comes from. There is a hologram of this in our hearts. We are intimately connected to this place. This is that place of unconditional love that you do not have to work for. This is that place of knowing that you are a spark of the divine, and that even if you don't always know that, or your mind isn't aware of it, you still carry that spark. That flame is still lit in your heart, whether you're aware of it or whether you're not, whether you utilize it or whether you don't. And with Neptune at 29 degrees Pisces, there's this really strong invitation to drop in and claim this territory for yourself. So Neptune is associated with empathy, sensitivity. It's the realms of the unseen, of the spirit guides. It's that felt sense that love is real. It is connected to poetry, art, and music. It is also beyond form and beyond language. It's very difficult to really completely talk about it. We can use words, but it's that experience of dissolving into love, but also knowing that there's this unconditional love within you that carries an enormous amount of wisdom and empathy and compassion for your human experience, and that turning your attention to this can create miracles for you. There's an aspect of Neptune that has to do with grace. That's not based in logic or reason or anything that's earned. It's grace. And sometimes you have to knock on the door of grace in order to receive it. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. Neptune is a very high vibration. It is also associated with psychic sensitivity and being held in hands that are bigger than yours. It's conveying your small self into the large self. It is about spiritual initiation and expansion, having a deep energetic connection with spirit and with other people and with all life, a connection to the spiritual, the aliveness in everything. It is a quality of love and compassion for the human experience. It is also associated with unity consciousness. It's associated with that wave that discovers that it is part of the ocean. It is the big wave of bliss, oceanic bliss, but also big oceanic waves of grief. They are the same. So that's sort of an overview of the positive parts of Neptune, the higher parts of Neptune. And I also want to talk to you a little bit about what can sometimes happen when there's as much Neptune around as there is right now. And like I said, you know, with Neptune being at the 29th degree, Neptune is a teacher, a spirit guide teacher, the big, like the all that is, you know, it, the oneness, let's just say the oneness source. The divine is saying, look, there are certain lessons that I want you to get. Number one, I'm improvising here. I'm you know, take or leave, take what I say with a grain of salt. I'm imagining what Neptune would say if Neptune were speaking to us, which is, you guys, I live inside of you. You don't have to earn my love. You just have to bring your burdens to me. You know, one of the things that Neptune does is it dissolves things. And it dissolves things, aspects of ourself that need to be dissolved, that need to go back to source, that are complete. But sometimes our egos don't like that feeling. So what can also happen, and remember, Neptune is a spiritual initiation. It is beyond time and space. It is formless, but you and I are living our lives in form. We're not just floating around in the dreamscapes. We can't do that all the time. We have to go to the grocery store and drive in our cars, but we are being seated with this. It's almost like a little crystal elevator has come down from spirit, has grabbed planet Earth, and is kind of bringing us up and up and up into this crystalline environment. But we're also on Earth. And so what happens is that there can be a feeling of spaciness, of fogginess, of fatigue, because there we are receiving a spiritual initiation while trying to live our lives, while we must live our lives, because we also are in form. And for it can, you can feel forgetful. So if you're feeling some of this stuff, spaciness, forgetfulness, foggy, fatigue, not feeling grounded, a feeling of confusion, extreme sensitivity, you know, I know that many of you are highly sensitive people, as am I. And this initiation that we're going through right now and throughout the summer, and really throughout the next couple of years, until 2026, as Neptune goes over the sensitive point at 29 degrees, we're receiving an activation of our light body, but we're also becoming so much more psychically, sensitive to one another and to everything that's happening around us. That can be overwhelming sometimes. That can be so overwhelming sometimes that people can feel like, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. It's too hard. It's too hard to feel all of this. And if that feeling is going on inside of you, I just want to say it's okay. It's all right. That feeling can be welcome. You don't have to do anything about it. I'm a counselor and a healer and a coach and an astrologer and a teacher. And I've been at this for over 34 years professionally. And I have never seen so many people feeling a state of grief and despair and overwhelm and not being suicidal. I'm not saying that I'm seeing a lot of suicidal people, but I'm seeing people who are like, stop the train. I want to get off. It's too hard. And some of that is this Neptunian energy that it's hard to distinguish oneself from the collective field. And the collective field right now, it's rough seas, very rough seas. So extreme sensitivity, and this can lead to, Neptune is also can be associated with escapism and substance abuse and feeling very ungrounded and unmoored. So if you're attempting to always operate from a place of rationality and wanting to know who you are, Neptune, well, I always tell people when they're in a Neptune cycle, if astrologers, you know, were in charge of the world, when Neptune cycles happened in your astrology chart, or global Neptune cycles happen the way we are in right now, we would say you get a t-shirt. This is your t-shirt. I don't know who I am. I don't know, period. But I don't have to. I get to not know right now. And we would maybe say it's a good time to be in a meditation retreat or go to the beach or be on a walkabout, because there's so much dissolving from you. Your cup is being emptied, the cup of knowing. So something larger can fill that cup. And that sense, that larger, is your higher self. It's your intuitive guidance. It's your connection to spirit. It's new visions and dreams. So if you're, it can be frightening to suddenly step into like this very expansive, foggy state. But if you allow your fear to be there, because this is where the grace can happen. So if you're attempting to operate from your logical, rational mind, you're going to get very frustrated. But if you surrender, and in Neptune processes, resistance is as futile as it would be in a tsunami. You know, you cannot resist this kind of a wave. And it really is about communication with unconditional love. And so it is a time of bringing whatever is arising. If fear is arising, if frustration is arising, if grief is arising, you bring that to Big Mama in your heart. Like I said, Neptune is that big love. It's that higher self that is in your heart, whether you're tuned in or not tuned in. And I know that I was feeling very overwhelmed about a few weeks ago. And I don't often feel this way, but I was just completely overwhelmed by the collective energies. And I was feeling frightened. I was feeling frustrated. I was also feeling like, I was feeling a little bit like, stop the train. I want to get off. Not serious, like I'm going to do something about it, but just like, whoa. And then I remembered to welcome those feelings, not to push them away, not to try and get rid of them. And I was pretty much in a state of overwhelm. So I just put my hand on my heart at a certain point and I said, you are welcome here. I'm going to welcome all of myself, all the fear, all the anger, all the hurt, all the confusion. I'm just going to welcome all of that and say, you know, I understand that you feel that way, Lauren. And you are welcome here. You are safe with me. I didn't necessarily feel like radiant love coming out of my heart, but I did visualize a practice that I do often, which is that I just drop into my heart and I just see a star expanding and expanding and expanding to encompass the emotions, to encompass all the feelings that are challenging. Instead of asking them to leave, instead of trying to fix them or solve them or understand them, just love them, just welcome them. And that is alchemy. And unfortunately, you can't do this as a technique to get rid of the feelings. You actually really just need to welcome them. But what happens is that they start dissolving into the light of love that is you. Even if you're not feeling unconditional love, just even the intention to extend kindness and compassion and love and a sense of welcoming to the challenge has an amazing alchemical metamorphosizing effect. Maybe not right away. Maybe you have to keep doing it. For me, it really created what happened is it took me out of fight, flight, or freeze. I was scared that I was feeling so upset. There wasn't anything in particular in my own life. It was the collective field that was very challenging for me. And I got scared that I was feeling all that I was feeling. And it put me into fight, flight, or freeze, just like it tends to put every, you know, it tends to when we get, and what, so it took me out of it long enough so that I could then go, oh, I know what I like to do when I feel overwhelmed. I like to go for a walk in the woods and I like to listen to the sound of the creek and I like to feel the color of the green leaves entering me. And I like to feel my root system going. When I was in a panic about what I was feeling, I didn't remember anything. And so this is something that I want to talk to you about fight, flight, or freeze. And that when we are in fight, flight, or freeze, we don't have a lot of access to our higher consciousness. We go into a bit of a panic and some of us fight. Some of us, flight and some of us freeze. Flight could be, I don't want to be here anymore. Or flight could be an addiction. Freeze is like, I'm just going into my, I just can't function. I can't see, you know, and fight is arguing with yourself, arguing with reality, arguing with other people, things like that. So, when we're in fight, flight, or freeze, we are in our amygdala. And, when we are in fight, flight, or freeze, we're more likely to experience the darker side of Neptune. We're not necessarily going to feel that big love in our heart and all the wonderful things about Neptune, which is spirit, guidance, love, new visions, new possibilities. So when we bring the light of our higher self to the shadow and Neptune dissolves it, we feel that we've been seen. We've been received, we've been loved, not pushed away. Or not we, but that aspect, let's just say the fear, the anger, the panic, whatever it is, wherever you go. When we don't push it away, when we try and push it away, even with some kind of a spiritual process, it only creates more panic and a desire to escape the panic. But when we just offer love, it calms us. So let the love in your heart welcome it all. Bring it all. Let yourself be seen and witnessed and felt by the love in your heart. Extend kindness and compassion and welcomeness to all of your feelings. Even if some of your feelings are not quite wanting to be here or, you know, whatever they are. So, Neptune is job right now is to dissolve what is completing, to dissolve aspects of our ego and form. It can feel confusing. It can feel like what's me, what's not me. Neptune is coming in and out of a conversation with Saturn and is requiring us to surrender, which isn't easy as we meet a new spacious consciousness and a new reality. It can be hard to surrender, but Neptune requires surrender. So what else would I like to say? So again, Neptune at the degree of 29 degrees is like, what lessons do you need to learn? Well, one of the lessons that we need to learn is how do we manage chaos and overwhelm and rapid change? How do we notice when we're in fight, flight, or freeze? And how do we build a bridge to higher consciousness? And how do we practice that? Well, I just shared with you one way to do it, which is to extend love and kindness and compassion to whatever is arising. And knowing that you don't have to first feel like I'm in my higher self. All you have to do is the awareness of even just saying, I'm extending love and kindness and compassion to these feelings. And you know what feelings? You have a right to be here. You are welcome. All of you is welcome. And something magical starts to happen. We start to relax and we start to access our frontal cortex, our parasympathetic nervous system, which is where we can have a much clearer perception and have access to inner guidance where we're in not so much of a panic. We need to learn to do this quickly and with ease. So we're building the muscle. That's one of the lessons. The other lesson is that we can't control everything. We can't control timing of things. We can't control other people. We don't really know what we wish we would know. And we're learning to trust the bigger picture. We're learning to trust that we are soul engaged in the human experience, that we have come here during a time of immense transition, and we are here and we matter. Whenever you extend kindness or empathy and compassion to yourself or another person or communicate love, you're affecting the whole field. So Neptune is at that 29th degree is remember this. Remember why you came. Remember what you're doing here. You're connected with teams of light that are supporting you. You're not alone. You're not doing this by yourself. There is a higher purpose to this. And even though you can't necessarily see the entire effect, because we, our rational minds, are like, come on, show me some good progress here. we are seeing more war and more fighting and more ignoring climate change and et cetera and so on and so forth. Show us in the middle world of form, like something. And Neptune is asking to keep trusting the process and to not doubt that we are being the change that we wish to see, and we are affecting the field as we do it, like little amoebas that are flickering with light, and we digest more light and we amplify the light, and it goes into the field and it lights up all the other little amoebas, and over time everything changes. Neptune is not interested in time. Neptune is operating outside of time and space. In the realm of Neptune, everything is unfolding according to plan. Sometimes maybe, you know, we may say, you know, yes, there's some resistance that might be slowing things down from our perspective, but from this perspective, all is well. There is a quote from a movie, The Best Marigold Hotel, which I love. And in the movie, one of the characters says, in the end, all will be well. And if it is not well yet, it is not yet the end. And that's a very Neptunian thing to say. So Neptune is also having a conversation with Saturn, which Saturn exists in the middle world of form. Saturn is where we live, our name, our rank, social security number, our bodies. Saturn is about making conscious choices, dealing with reality, mastering our challenges, working with resistance within ourselves and lifting weights, like life giving us some weights and some resistance and some challenges so that we can mature and grow. And also Saturn's in Pisces, and Pisces and Neptune's just a higher octave of Pisces. So, and Saturn is in Pisces and completing this, meaning that Saturn also is going to be starting a new astrological year in Aries in 2025, March 2025. So Saturn is completing a 30-year cycle around the zodiac. Boom, ba, da, boom, ba, da, boom. Started in in 1997 and 1998, Saturn was in Pisces. There were some completions at that point, new beginnings. Then we started a whole new cycle of 30 years. We're about to start a new 30-year cycle at the same time that Neptune is starting a new 165-year cycle. Now, Saturn and Neptune will be conjoined in March of 2025 and again in February 2026 in Aries. We'll talk about that more a little bit. We also have Pluto. So we've got Neptune moving back and forth over the last degree. We also have Pluto, which stays in, you know, that Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008 and has been in and out of the early degrees of Aquarius, is moving back into the 29th degree of Capricorn, September 2nd to November 19th, at the 29th degrees, dancing there too. And Pluto, has a 270 something, 76 year, 78 year cycle, something like that. And so these big initiating planets are concluding something. So Pluto has also been moving back and forth at this sensitive point of 29 degrees. And again, we'll do it again between September 2nd and November 19th. So Pluto is also, what's happening is that there's a lot of endings. There's a lot of clearing out of old accounts and completing lessons and deep healing. And Pluto and Neptune and Saturn, they're dancing on the thresholds. And what's happening is that our old resistance to change, represses forces that are operating out of a place of control, manipulation, violence, are getting stronger, because in a way Neptune is dissolving, Pluto's moving into Aquarius, which is really about egalitarianism, humanitarianism, completely changing the operating system. It is about an empowerment of the people rather than Plutonian forces, which has been empowered over since 2008. And so these forces that on some unconscious level, perhaps some people actually know about it, know that this is their last stand. So they're getting really, 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 really loud, and they're pulling out all of the stops to try and stay in power and control. And this is true about your own psyche. And so it's scary. It's like, oh my God, these war, you know, wars and genocide and, you know, unbelievable political, insanity. It's the end of an era, and that old era is asserting, trying to assert as much as it can. But here's what's happening. It's kind of overreaching. It's like things that used to be hidden and secret are all being made visible. And as they're being made visible, they're like, huh, people were sort of okay with that. Let's do some more. Let's do some more. And now it's like the emperor has no clothes and doesn't care and doesn't realize that more and more people are like, wait a minute, this has gone too far. And, it's also really challenging to witness all of this and to see, wow, there's a lot of deception. That's the other thing about Neptune at 29 degrees. It's the intention is to clear the fog, but the fog also gets a lot stronger, and the forces that are trying to be deceptive and manipulation through deception and telling false stories is a theme, one of the themes. So what else do I want to tell you? So I want to tell you that working with Neptune and working with your feelings isn't about, I'm going to let go of this, I'm going to release this, about heavy emotions. It's about accepting, surrendering, and trusting. Let love in. Let your heart welcome it all. Just put your hand on your heart and say, I welcome you. I love you. You are welcome in my life. You are allowed to be here. Many of us, when we were children, when we had strong emotions, got the message, not okay. And so we do that to ourselves now. And Neptune is this unconditionally loving energy that we all carry. We don't have to cultivate it. It's there. We just have to turn our attention to it and even just ask, knock on the door, just ask. And you will be surprised at the goodness that comes. So let's see. The other thing I want to tell you about is that, 2 days, one day after the solstice on June 20th, June 21st and 22nd, we have a full moon in Capricorn, also squared by Neptune. And here we have this theme again. Capricorn and Saturn are very resonant. And remember that Saturn is about reality. It is about dealing with consequences. It is about taking responsibility. It is about, moving to a higher octave of making commitments. So like Saturn could be, someone getting a, going through a PhD program. And one person in the PhD program is doing a lot of work and they're writing amazing papers and they're doing all kinds of research and they're writing their dissertation. And yes, it's hard work. And yes, maybe it's tiring and maybe even challenging, but in the end you graduate and you get your PhD. That is one way to work with Saturn, is you work hard, you work through the challenges and the obstacles, and you get the results that you get. Another way to work Saturn is to ignore the messages. You know, you're in your PhD program and you don't do the work. You plagiarize all the papers. You know, you plagiarize your PhD and you get fail. You fail and you get kicked out of the program. That, you know, so Saturn has a bad reputation. But if we work with Saturn, Saturn helps us to grow and evolve in our lives. So the moon in Capricorn is squared by Neptune, and we have Saturn in Pisces. So we've got this dance between real world challenges, obstacles, growing, taking responsibility for our lives, and Pisces in Neptune, which is dissolving, expanding into higher consciousness, expanding into higher love, bringing the language of our dreams and our visions and our connection to intuitive guidance into the world of form. The energy that's available to us is this big mama, this infinite field of love. But there's also this sort of conversation with Saturn of like, we have to make space in the world of form for this expansion. And in that process, we sometimes not know. We sometimes feel a fear. We sometimes are hypersensitive and need to tend to that. I know that for me, I don't like my highly sensitive part of myself all the time. I find it, the Saturnian part of myself finds it inconvenient because I require so much self-care, so much time alone. And so there can be a conversation. It's like Neptune or my intuitive self is saying, hey, make more space for me in Lauren's life. And then the way to deal with that for Saturn is, okay, here are how the structures of Lauren's life is going to change to accommodate even more connection to spirit, even more connection to intuition and guidance. And in Lauren's heart or in your heart, I'm going to love whatever the resistance might be or whatever the fears might be of that. Anyway, so what else is happening? We've got that full moon squaring Neptune, which is just bringing in. It's just really the sun and the moon are just lighting up these Neptunian energies. Okay. It also is helpful to drop into your body when you feel, you'll notice that like, it's kind of hard to put into words, but sometimes with this much Neptune, you might feel like you're floaty, spacey, or like the edges of reality are crackling. And when that, if that happens, or if you feel frightened of the not knowing, or what's helpful is to drop into your body. And what's really helpful for me is to drop into like the top of my head down to my toes. So try this. Drop into the length of you, the top of your head down to your toes. Bring yourself into your center. And this can just take a moment. Now, become aware of the width of you. Ear to ear, shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, the outside of your foot to the inside of your foot, and all the space in between. Take a deep breath. What are you sensing? Now become aware of your back and the space behind you. Some more deep breaths. And now become aware of the space around you, what it feels like on your skin. Are there sounds? Are there smells? Bring yourself into now. And then just take a moment. What are the sensations in your body? Take a few deep breaths to allow some softening and connect with that love in your heart. And then just say, I love you to anything, or say whatever you long to hear. When you feel overwhelmed, it only takes a minute. It might also help to become a tree. To root, send a root system down through the bottoms of your feet. This always helps me. And then growing that root system down and then feeling your body as the trunk and the leaves going and absorbing the light of the sun, bringing that nourishment down. These are little quick little processes that can help you. When we are ungrounded, we feel anxious. And we're not in a grounded energy right now. And when we feel anxious, we don't get to work with the higher aspect of Neptune. We tend to be in the lower aspect of Neptune, which is challenging. Remember, the higher aspect of Neptune is unconditional love. the unseen world, intuitive guidance, empathy, compassion, higher frequencies, but also the oceans of bliss, the oceans of grief, the felt sense that love is real, and the felt sense that you are being held in hands that are much bigger than yours, that all time is now, that all is well. So when we're calm and we're not in fight, flight, or freeze, we can access this and from this place receive that guidance. And Neptune can also push us into fear and ungroundedness, and we've already discussed all of that. So let's say the other thing about Neptune is Neptune may ask for deeper rest, for more dream time. Reality is very malleable during this time. And Neptune is an antidote to certainty. So as Neptune and Saturn begin to come together in 2025 and 2026, the invitation is for the empathy and the compassion and the dissolving be brought to this new beginning in Aries. And that in particular, that we start to value leaders and leadership within ourselves that is very much connected to our empathy, our kindness, our compassion, our connection to our intuition and guidance. That's the invitation. And that's what we're working on doing now as we ride these big waves of uncertainty in the world to stay connected to our hearts and to extend that to one another. So these are pivotal shift years. Once we get to 2026 and 2027, all of the outer planets that are major initiators are going to be in air or fire signs. Neptune will be in Aries, the beginning of the zodiac, starting a new 165-year cycle. Saturn will be in Aries, starting a new 30-year cycle. Pluto will be solidly in Aquarius between until 2044, an air sign. And it will do that it'll stay there in November, starting in November 19th. And then Uranus in 2026 is going to move into Gemini, another air sign. So what are fire and air together? Air is innovation, new ideas, brilliance, visionary, communication. Then it meets fire, which is the creative spark. Leadership, ignition, dynamic, sparking. This, we are moving into a very fast moving and creative energy. So now we're in a completion time and we're in a training to stay connected to our love, our kindness, and our compassion as we head into ever fast moving and changing times. We are building bridges from fight, flight, or freeze into our heart and into our higher consciousness. We are getting help from Neptune because Neptune just is that energy of I'm happy you're here. You are welcome. I love you. I accept you. It's okay to feel the way you do. This is about us repairing our relationships to ourselves and getting a lot of help from spirit to do it if we remember to do it. That's why I'm going over this again and again and again. We also have at the solstice, Jupiter in Gemini. And, Jupiter in Gemini is the year star. And Jupiter in Gemini is about weaving a new story and being very mindful of what we're communicating to ourselves and others. It's about weaving in crazy wisdom, playfulness, our capacity to be connected to the creative muse, to the divine storyteller, to be aware of what are the stories and thoughts that we are choosing to empower. Gemini is multidimensional and likes to grow through playfulness and lightening the energy up. Gemini, this is a quote from Carolyn Casey, imagination sets the tracks for the reality train. And so we are going to be intending to grow, to bring some playfulness and creativity and lightening up as we choose the stories we empower. And I think I've shared with you before to become more mindful of what is the story that I'm telling myself, that I'm, you know, to just become more conscious. So if you're telling yourself the story, let's do this one. Say you start to feel fear. You start feeling all dissolvey and you start looking around at the world going, oh my God, things aren't getting better. It's like things are very intense and there is just so much human suffering. And you start to maybe start to feel some fear or discomfort. Here's a train you might get on. You might get on train of, I shouldn't feel fear because I don't want to feed the collective my fear. Fear, go away. Get out of here. Now, if you get on that train might take you to contraction. It's not really going to help. So it's, if you get on the train of you are welcome and I love you, the I love you train, you start noticing that you're softening and relaxing and the fear starts to dissolve into something else. And you start having access to new ideas. So, So we want to be very aware of when we start thinking. So there's a difference between welcoming fear or welcoming discomfort and extending love and compassion. There's that which dissolves it versus looping it. Okay. So then there's getting on the train of fear that says, that starts looking for evidence. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, then you start looking for evidence for everything is going to hell in a handbasket and there is lots of evidence and then it can create a lot of anxiety and worry and that does not feel good. So there's looping fear, there's looping mental tape loops. That can happen with a lot of Gemini. There is allowing fear to be dissolved, to be love to extend to fear, which is very different from looping mental tape loops. And so with this Jupiter and Gemini, we're being reminded to be playful and to understand that we can change the story. We can choose what train we get on. But part of it is mindfulness about noticing what is the train we're on? What is the story we're telling ourselves? And how does that align with the qualities we want to be bringing forth in our lives? So, what else do I want to say? Well, let's talk about that we're at the solstice. And at the solstice, the sun is standing still on the horizon for 3 days. And it's standing still at galactic edge, which is a portal. And the sun at summer solstice, Cancer solstice, can only be at galactic edge every 26,000 years. And we know that the Capricorn solstice is a galactic center now as well. And these form a line in the cosmos, and it's part of something called the world axis. The Hopis called it the sacred hoop. The galactic edge is a portal where new energy comes into our galaxy. It is also in mythology, when we incarnate, we come through this portal. And it's the portal of duality as well. And when we leave this planet or we journey to source, whether it's through dreams or journeying or meditation, we can move to galactic center is source energy. And it's in mythology, it's where we go when we leave this planet. We go back to source through the center of the galaxy, which is also the center of the Milky Way. And so we are at this portal at the solstice time, and the sun and Venus and Mercury are all in Cancer at this time. And they're all squared by Neptune. And Cancer is also the archetype of home, of roots, of family, of connection, the desire for safety and security and nourishment and love. So there's this energy of mama. Being a good mother to yourself, being a good mother to those around you, and being a good mother to the little ones in your consciousness, the emotions. But what we also have is Venus and Mercury are so close to the sun, we cannot see them. They're at a point in their cycle where they're in the underworld. And they are receiving transmissions from the source. They are being resourced by source energy. And they are both coming out of the underworld in July, where they will be expressing what they have been experiencing. I'll talk more about that. So we've got these planets on the world axis that the Hopis called the sacred hoop. And this can only happen every 26,000 years. And it began to happen in 1926. And it completes, they move out of this area of the sky in 2070. So this is a very, you incarnated onto planet Earth during a time of great transition, where we are evolving from one form to another. And that evolutionary energy is being really heightened right now, as I've been describing. So Venus and Mercury are receiving strength and being resourced by the source of life. And the feminine, as she rises from the underworld, and what that means is that we can't see Venus now because she's so close to the sun. The light of the sun is obscuring our ability to see her and Mercury. But around July 10th, Venus rises and Mercury rises. And when Venus rises, she's going to rise in the sign of Leo, and she's going to square Pluto. And so this is very intense. She's going to communicate what she has experienced in the underworld. She's with Mercury. What messages does she communicate from the underworld, from the world of shadows, from what has been hidden? A place where she has been releasing her old storylines, releasing her old story of the suffering of the feminine. She will have a lot to say. The feminine is going to rise with Leo. She is going to rise empowered and sovereign, embracing her strength, her creativity, her self-confidence, her self-love, her independence. And she has a lot to say with Mercury and Pluto. Boom. We're going to hear a lot. I mean, we are hearing a lot. We're hearing a lot in the United States about what the Christian white nationalist movement, how merged they are into the Republican Party and what their agenda is for women. And we are, many people are saying we're going to see an estrogen wave in our next election. And we hope that is the truth. But I can tell you that whatever is happening right now, this summer is filled with so much dissolving, changing energy. And Venus is rising. She's been off the world stage. She's coming back on, and she's a lot to say with a lot of power and a lot of oomph. So just saying. And also Gemini, Jupiter in Gemini is conjunct Sedna, the dwarf planet that just recently moved into Gemini. And they are having a conversation about rewriting the story of abuse and betrayal, transforming that old story of pain and victimhood into becoming the queen of the seas. Swimming with as the whales, as the dolphins, not getting stuck in our old stories of pain or patterns that lead to betrayal and abandonment. Now, the story of Sedna is so she's very prominently placed conjunct Jupiter at the solstice. So, and she has been, because you've heard me talk about her in the past. She was, I'm going to do this really quickly because I've told you about this before. She was betrayed by both her husband, who she was forced to marry, and who cast her out. And she called her father for help, and he was afraid that if he helped her, something bad would happen to him. So he threw her off his boat into the ocean, and she climbed back on, and then he cut off her hands, and then she just fell to the bottom of the sea. And she was transformed into the queen of the seas, and she was transformed into all of the mermaids and the dolphins and the whales and the turtles. And she has just shifted into Gemini. And Jupiter, which expands whatever it touches, is expanding this story, which is don't let the chaos and overwhelm of these times interfere with listening to your inner voice of wisdom. Don't get stuck in the old stories of pain or patterns of betrayal or control. we have to let go. We have to stop climbing onto this boat. And we don't have a choice anyway. Like, she didn't have a choice. Poof, her hands were cut. And to trust that we're moving into an unknown space that we haven't really been in before. And through moving into higher consciousness and moving into the unknown and trusting the process of evolution that we're in, we will be like the whales and the playful, like the whales and the dolphins again. We will have that magic. And what I find very interesting is that I have a friend that's began an organization called the Great Whale Conservancy. And she and her partner are finding a lot of openness to work they've been doing for years and years and years, which is trying to stop shipping containers from hitting whales. And they are getting so much support right now. Things are moving. And she was just telling me that she's having a lot of, like, you know, there are many areas that things are moving forward in a really positive way. Our attention is very focused on the things that are really traumatic that are happening because they're so big. Genocide and war, you know, climate change. They're taking a lot of our attention as they need to. But also there are other things happening that are the seeds of the new earth are sprouting and growing and developing as well. So she was just saying she was feeling really heartened by this. And to see this, and I just thought it was so interesting that it happens to be whales and dolphins, and this is Sedna's territory, and Sedna is being expanded by Jupiter in Gemini, and Gemini is about changing the story and shape-shifting and magic happening. So anyway, she goes to the depths of the sea, and we are going to the depths of the sea in some ways. We're going to the depths of the sea of love and the sea of grief. She is transformed into the queen, and she's very strong on the world stage now. And, you know, fishermen in the Inuit culture honor her by making offerings to her and listening to her pain so that they can receive abundance, the gift of abundance from the sea. So it's, again, it's another one of these stories about when we listen to our pain, we listen to the grief, we really experience an abundance. When we have deep listening and honoring from the heart, we have so many archetypal forces right now, so many portals that are about welcoming and dissolving and inviting love into these challenging places, that we can experience a lot of bliss as well. So even as these world events are becoming more intense, and we've got Saturn is retrograde, Pluto is retrograde, Neptune is retrograde. And what this means is that we're reviewing our choices. We're reviewing what reality is. We're looking at, is this real? Is this a good idea? We're taking responsibility for our sensitivities. We are making choices. And we are releasing old stories. And we are receiving a lot of information and transmission that are coming in through these open portals. And one other portal I want to tell you about. So we've got the solstice. We've got Neptune. We've got the full moon, a galactic center. The summer solstice point at galactic edge, which is summer solstice, the Cancer solstice is always at galactic edge, but there isn't a full moon in Capricorn sitting at galactic center as well. So we've got these powerful vortexes in the universe just being lit up. And at the same time, we have something called an out of bounds moon, which can happen every 19 and a half years. And what the moon is so low when it rises that it seems to sort of float above the horizon line. And a lot, there are stone circles that are built to honor this time. And there are those that say that when the moon walks the land, the great shining ones will return to witness this. And right now, many people are headed to Scotland to witness this, as they did 19 and a half years ago, and as they will again. But we are the great shining ones. We are the ones we've been waiting for. And this is a time of just allowing the information and transmission coming in to observe the moon, observe the full moon on the 21st and the 22nd and just be with it. See what messages it has for you. So the sun and Venus and Mercury being in Cancer, are about sharing messages of love, of nourishment with yourself and with others. So it's also important to remember that throughout the season, as events may be becoming more intense, it's important to connect to the spark of love in your heart, to that inner voice that is loving and supportive to you. Understanding that that old paradigm of control and manipulation, generating chaos and confusion, is not wanting to surrender into the new paradigm that we are all bringing in, but we are bringing it in nonetheless. And we are being supported by the astrological energies, and we are being supported by the unseen world, by our guide teams. And that that old paradigm is tightening its grip. It's getting very loud and it can create a lot of fear, but it's a time to trust. Trust that evolution is happening, to embody the spirit of welcoming, opening to the frequency of love, and speaking to yourself and others with love and compassion. To remember to say to yourself, it's okay to feel what you feel, and to try and stay out of the mental loops that bring evidence to bad things happening, that just keep focusing on that evidence. Pay attention to the tracks that you're laying in your mind. And remember that every act of kindness, every word of compassion, every kind, extra little kind thing you do for another person affects the whole. It goes into the collective field and affects everything. It offers a transmission. It is not about ignoring the suffering that is happening. It is not about refusing to visit grief. Of course, visit grief, but don't make it your home. Neptune is reminding us that we are a soul having a human experience, and that we are capable of extending love and compassion to ourselves and to others as we grow and learn the lessons. Our small acts of kindness make a difference. In the light of the heart, all else is dissolved. This is alchemy. This is welcome. The more you do this, the more you will change the morphic field. And the more you do this, the easier it becomes. We don't know how much chaos and overwhelm is needed to dissolve and disrupt and clear out these old operating systems. We don't really know the timing before something new can be reborn. But we do know that we are the change agents who are here to change the morphic field, to become the new story, to become the energy of the new story, and that this is the time to do it. It is about accepting the invitation and knowing that between 2025 and 2027, we want to get really good at this. Because the fire and air that's going to be coming is going to be like, it's going to be taking this energy and putting it into the world in a really big way, which is kind of exciting. And so as stuck as we may feel, change is coming. We just don't know exactly what that change is going to be, but we can affect it by affecting the morphic field. Okay, thank you. And that's all for now.